Hello there. Welcome back to another episode of Two Girls, One Mile. I am Simar Kaur.
And I am Oshi Singh.
Dear listeners, what do you think is the greatest lesson a woman should learn? According to me, it is learning about her own self-importance and self-love. This encompasses knowing one's worth, setting boundaries, and prioritizing one's own well-being and happiness. When a woman learns to love and respect herself, she becomes empowered to pursue her goals and to stand up for herself and to cultivate healthy relationships. This lesson lays the foundation for a fulfilling and authentic life where she can navigate challenges with resilience and grace. What do you think, Oshi?
Well, just like Rupi Kaur once said, I also feel that the greatest lesson that a woman should learn is that since day one, she's already had everything she needs within herself. It's the world that convinced her she did not. It's an amazing line, isn't it?
Indeed, Oshi. Since generations, women have been discouraged, made believe that they were inferior to others, that anything a man could do, they could not. Nevertheless, the situation has improved a lot. Many feminists have brought this concern to the limelight, and women's roles in society are getting updated with time slowly but steadily. But we still have a very long way to go.
Definitely, Sima. And with that, our dear listeners, we welcome you all to another episode of our today's episode. Today, we'll talk about, as you might have guessed, women empowerment. And joining us today to a sweet little podcast is Arika Banka.
Hello everyone, glad to be here. More importantly, I'm so glad that I finally know the topic for today's podcast. As an aspiring lawyer, I feel I would really be able to contribute to this topic and take a lot away as well.
That's great to know, Arika. Often when people hear the word women empowerment, they still wonder if we need it right now in the 21st century. I mean, it's 2024 now. What is your opinion?
I feel that the need is still there. It's an ongoing process. And I mean, women haven't been suppressed for just a year or two so that we can get over it so easily. They were denied basic rights like education for decades. You don't ask someone who has been to the hospital for long to just get over it, do you? No, right? So yes, women empowerment is still needed. There's a lot left to achieve and there's a lot of places from where we have to achieve. Not just district or state-wise, but we can call it an international or global goal, I think. Arika, what about you?
Oshi, I feel that everything starts from where we are. An international movement doesn't mean that you have to move continents. It means you have to start from where we are currently. That's our home, workplace, school, or marketplace. When you're at home, women shouldn't have to bear the burden that they have to cook for their families every night, day after day, even after long hours in the office, or when they're sick. We need to feel safe when we're going out at night. Let me give you another example. A coach picks a boy who's not that eager or good at that sport over a girl who's better than him. Why? That's because women are still confined to certain stereotypes. People say we're advancing when it comes to women empowerment, but trust me, we're falling behind due to people with narrow minds.
I completely agree with you, Arika. The situation has improved, but that doesn't mean that women are treated equally as men completely. There is still a lot of improvement needed. Absolutely, the need for women's empowerment persists even in the 21st century. While significant progress has been made in terms of gender equality, there are still numerous challenges that women face globally, including gender-based violence, unequal access to education and healthcare, limited economic opportunities, and underrepresentation in leadership roles. Empowerment isn't just about achieving equality on paper. It's about ensuring that women have the resources, opportunities, and support needed to thrive in all aspects of life, whether it's in the workplace, in politics, in their communities, or within their families.
You know, guys, I always wonder what are the concrete steps that should be taken to ensure women empowerment. Any thoughts?
My answer might be very generic, but that's solely because we can't make sure, you know, that the first step of the ladder is not strong enough. We can't aim for the stars if the first step isn't strong enough. So I feel ensuring equal treatment of women at all times, making sure they're respected at home as well as in public. Not only that, but also putting an end to social practices that are against women. Like, for example, we all know about the Dowry Prohibition Act, but still we are witnessing the give and take of the same. So I feel many people still have the misconception that equality and empowerment mean the same thing, but that's not it. While equality is just equal treatment, empowerment is much more than that. It is making sure women feel safe at all times, like you both just mentioned. Making sure the horrors of the past don't haunt them ever again. So in my opinion, if we can't achieve anything, we can't achieve anything before we achieve this first.
I completely agree with you, Oshi. And I think many concrete steps are still needed in empowering women in today's day and age. Firstly, education is very important in today's world. Educating men and women about women's rights and that all of us are same is very essential to empower women. Apart from that, economic opportunities. Giving them the same economic opportunities as men is very important. Thirdly, political participation. If women are underrepresented in the parliament, their needs and their demands will never be able to show up in society, and they will still not feel empowered. And I think that will hold us back in the long run. And basically, I think we should really start changing social norms and let go of the age-old stereotypes that still exist in today's society, that women are less important than men or are less able than men, because that is false.
Do you both think that the lack of empowerment is an equality issue or an equity issue?
Personally, I feel it's definitely an equity issue, because the whole definition of equity is basically understanding that we all don't start from the same point. It might differ according to the needs. Even in the Olympics, we know, you know, they have separate games for people with special needs. Looking at the past treatment of women and considering the ill treatment shown towards widows and women in general, I have to say the lack of empowerment, according to me, is definitely equity issue. Simar?
I agree with you, Oshi. Women and men, they have been treated differently since ages, and simply giving them or throwing the same opportunities and resources will not help in empowering women. It is important that we recognize where women come from and what they need to be empowered and to have their status rise from what it was once. Of course, they need more assistance than men for both the communities to reach the same level in all the different spheres of life.
I agree with you both. Oshi's example also reminded me of the movie Chak De India. It showed women's experience in Olympics and our national game, hockey. But a positive thing that I've noticed is the new Women's Reservation Act of 2023, which reserves 1/3 of all seats for women in Lok Sabha, state legislative assemblies and legislative assemblies of the National Capital Territory of Delhi, including those reserved for SCs and STs.
That's wonderful. I am sure you have all seen the movie Razi, but do you know the real story?
No, I guess not.
Tell us, dear Sumo.
Alright, so Razi is a movie based on a book written by Harinder Sikka called Calling Sehmat. And during an interview, he said that during the 1999 Kargil War, he had visited Kargil to write media articles on the Indian Army's alleged intelligence failure there. Sikka became furious over the intelligence failure and questioned the patriotism of certain people in the intelligence wing. It was there during one such discussion that he met an army officer who told him that not everyone is the same. The army officer went on to give the example of his mother, which was much to Sikka's surprise. Sehmat is also not the real name of the character, so we might never know who the real person behind Sehmat's character is. Inspired by the patriotic tale of Sehmat, Harinder Sikka tried to find out Sehmat and finally met her at her house in Maler Kotla in Punjab. Initially, she was very reluctant to speak, and slowly she opened up about her journey as an undercover spy. Sehmat was the daughter of a Kashmiri Muslim businessman and married a Pakistani army officer to provide India with classified information during the 1971 Indo-Pak War. It was her father who pushed Sehmat to do such a dangerous thing. She was trained to be a facilitator only. However, she went above her assigned duty. Working as an Indian undercover spy in Pakistan, one of the most significant pieces of information shared by Sehmat was Pakistan's plan to sink INS Vikrant, now decommissioned. India could save its biggest pride on the sea simply because of her. While in Pakistan, Sehmat also used to tutor General Yahya Khan's grandchildren. After her espionage stint in Pakistan, pregnant Sehmat returned to India, where she gave birth to her son, who went on to become an Indian Army officer. In lieu of her service to the nation, all she wanted was to unfurl the Indian national flag at her house. Although the Indian flag code didn't allow the tricolor to be unfurled at any private building, till her death, Sehmat did it unofficially. Harinder Sikka, who has penned down calling Sehmat, says, "Despite being an ex-soldier myself, I feel proud to admit that I learned the real meaning of patriotism from her story."
Oh wow, this story feels so hard to believe. Her experience seems so surreal. I feel that the movie couldn't capture the courage and patriotism of Sehmat.
Wow, so when I first watched the movie, I felt so overwhelmed with all that she had gone through. And now that I know the whole backstory of it as well, it has definitely grown a lot. And now, that time also, I had so much respect for her instantly, and it has just grown. The story reminds me of another story of Saraswati Rajni. She was just 16 when Bose visited Rangoon at the height of World War II to collect funds and recruit volunteers for INA. Rajni removed all her expensive gold and diamond jewelry and donated it to Indian National Army. Bose came to return it to the young girl, thinking that her father forced her to give it up. But she clearly refused and rather urged Bose to recruit her in the army. She succeeded in persuading Bose, and he recruited her and four of her friends as spies in INA's intelligence wing. Disguised as young boys, the girls started working as errand boys at the British military camp and officers' houses. As covert agents being behind army lines, they were responsible for intercepting government orders and military intelligence from British officers and handing these over to INA. While the unit had been told to avoid getting caught at all costs, one of the girls was caught, and by the British, of course. Knowing the consequences of being caught, Rajni decided that she would try and rescue her fellow spy. The gutsy teenager dressed herself as a dancing girl, drugged the officer at the prison, and rescued her colleague. As the girls were escaping, they were shot by the Britishers, and Rajni suffered a bullet wound in her right leg. Still bleeding as she ran, Rajni and her friend climbed up a tree where they camped for three days while the British carried out the search operation. The bullet wound left her with a permanent limb, but Rajni was proud of it. For her, it was a reminder of her exciting days as an INA spy. Later, Rajni would often recall how delighted Netaji was at their brave escape and the proud moment when she was given a medal by the Japanese emperor himself, along with the rank of lieutenant in INA's Rani of Jhansi Brigade.
That's truly amazing. Since we're sharing stories, I'm sure you all know about Neeraja Phinot, and you know about the movie Neeraja. She was an Indian flight purser, and on September 5th, 1986, She saved a large number of passengers on board on the Pan Am Flight 73, which had been hijacked by four Palestinian terrorists after it made a stopover at the Jinnah International Airport in Pakistan. Around 17 hours into the standoff, after she opened an emergency exit door and began helping passengers escape off the plane, Neeraj was shot and killed by the hijackers. Personally, when I watched the movie, I was overwhelmed and filled with emotions. I was inspired when I watched the movie. I couldn't believe how selfless one can be and was very proud of her instantly. She saved so many lives and sacrificed her own to save the child's life. That was truly a selfless act of kindness. And I mean, I don't think that words can really express how amazing I feel and how proud I am of her.
Wow, that's truly amazing. Mustering up this level of courage in such a terrifying situation is simply unbelievable.
I feel as the woman of the 21st century, I don't have the right to call myself a feminist. Now, don't get me wrong, I am all for it, obviously, but at the same time, I feel our generation does not even know the F of feminism. Because after all, it was the generation before us that even made it possible for the women, or even men for that matter, to openly say, yes, I am a feminist and I'm proud of it.
Definitely. So all of this reminds me of a poem called She Rises. In every dawn's first tender light, she rises, strong, embracing the fight, facing her fears, breaking the cage on life's vast and infinite stage.
Mountains she climbs, valleys she crosses, learning from gains, growing from losses. With every step, her spirit soars high, reaching for dreams, touching the sky.
She is a warrior, gentle yet fierce. With love as her armor, adversities she pierces. She rises, she thrives, empowered and free, a beacon of hope for you and for me.
And with that fabulous chat about women empowerment, we come to an end of today's podcast. We sincerely hope you enjoyed it, and we would like to thank everyone who has helped us achieve the success of today's episode. Stay tuned for the next episode, same date, same time next month.